Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome back. So last week we discussed the elementary aspects of Ribbis, the Isser and the Malvin, the Isser and the Lova, and then we got into the halacha that Ribbis in Hatara is only Usser between two Jews, but it's Mutter between a Jew and a non-Jew, whether the Jew is lending the money to the non-Jew and charging interest, or whether the Jew is borrowing from the non-Jew and paying interest. Either way, the Torah permits it. We learned that there was a time when the Rabbanan had asered at least asered the Jews from loaning money to non-Jews and collecting ribbis. The Rabbanan had asered that at one point with certain exceptions, and then the Shulchan Aruch tells us that even whatever they asered is no longer relevant. Now it's back to the Din Torah that it's mutter. So not only are you allowed to borrow money from a non-Jew and pay interest, but you're also allowed to loan money to a non-Jew and collect interest. Okay. Now, we ended off, though, with a point about between non-Jew and non-Jew. That's a question, the Achronim. It's actually based, I didn't mention, it's based on one Teretz and Tosis. There's a Teretz and Tosis in Bava Metzia that actually says that it is usser for a non-Jew to charge interest from another non-Jew, because for non-Jews, it's included in the Isser of Gezel. One of the Sheva Mitzvah Noach is Gezel, and that's included in the Isser there. It's one Teretz and Tosis, but we mentioned that a number of poskim say that does not seem to be the accepted Minhag HaOlam. The nafkamina for us is that could a Jew be broker alone between, could a Jew be involved in a loan between two non-Jews, but Ribbis, so the poskim that I saw seem to say that halacha meis, it's not a concern, because we don't seem to poskim like that Teretz and Tosis. Okay, now Sif Beis moves on to another very fascinating halacha. Sif Beis says, Mumar, Mutta l'halvosa beribis. A mumar who's a yid, who unfortunately is not practicing what he should be in terms of his religious conduct. So the case of the mumar that's for sure included here is the mumar who's mamish kofar be'ikr. He's thrown everything off. He has no interest, in Yiddishkeit. It's like kofar in the Rabbanu Shalom, completely off. So that type of a person, although he's still Jewish and he's still chayiv in mitzvahs, but it's mutter lahalvosa beribis. You're allowed to lend him money and charge him ribis and collect ribis from him. Va'asel lavos mimenu beribis, but you can't borrow money from him with interest. You can't pay him interest. You could collect interest from him, but you can't pay him interest. Why is that? This is not just some form of getting back at him or shtuching him for his lifestyle. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here? There are three reasons given in Rishonim. We'll start with two of them. The Torah says the reason is that although he may be defined as achicha, he may still be considered your brother, but even so, the Torah says the reason why you shouldn't charge ribbis is v'chei achicha imach, that your brother should have parnasa, right? Your brother should be able to have a livelihood just as you, meaning don't take ribbis. If he needs money, lend him the money, free loan. Give him a gemach. Don't charge ribbis. V'chei achicha imach. And that zuchus a mumar doesn't have. In other words, there is no mitzvah for me to look after a mumar to make sure that he has parnasa. I don't have to give him staka, in fact, and I'm not even supposed to. If a mumar, again, we're talking about so far, a mumar is kofar be'ikr. He denies your banishim, so totally off the derech in every sense of the word. So there's no mitzvah to be mefarnes him, and it's we'll even see it might even be usur, but there's certainly no mitzvah whatsoever, so there's no din of a chei achicha imach. So the whole reason that the Torah gives for isser ribbis doesn't apply here, and therefore you're allowed to lend him beribis. That's the Torah's reason. The Ramban says, perhaps even more, he's not even achicha. Forget about that the tam of the chei achicha imach doesn't apply. He's not achicha, and then of course it doesn't apply. Okay, so again, so the Torah says he's achicha, but he's not an achicha that you have to be concerned about his well-being, his financial well-being. So there's no v'chei achicha imach, and that takes off the Isser Ribbis, and the Ramban takes it further and says not even achicha. Nafgamina, what difference lahalacha would be between these two reasons? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, right here on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, that according to if you say that he is not achicha, or let's start the other way. If you say that he is achicha, the Torah, he is achicha, just that there's no mitzvah being mefarnes him, but for him to, for you to lend, to borrow money from him, you can. The din of achei achicha imach that says that the reason why not to charge ribbis is so when the next person should have, you know, should have parnasa, lend him for free. That's only, don't collect ribbis. But to borrow from another yidba ribbis, I'm not restricted by, it's not because of chei chicha imach. The Torah says, lo sashich lachicha. I can't borrow money from another Jew or ribbis. It's not because, I'm not concerned, if I care, that would help his parnasa if I pay him interest. But I'm not allowed to. So it's nothing to do with chei chicha imach. So then, of course, it's, as long as he's lachicha, which the Torah says, as long as he's called achicha, he's called my brother, so then the pasuk says, lo sashech l'achicha, don't borrow money from another yid beribis. So finished, nothing to talk about. Whereas according to the Ramban, that he's not achicha, so then that doesn't apply either. Lo sashech l'achicha, which is the, that is the pasuk that says, don't borrow beribis from a Jew. Lo sashech l'achicha is the pasuk that says, don't borrow money from another Jew, and pay him ribbis. So, if he's not ochicha, then that doesn't apply. Right? Very simple. But yet the Shulchan Aruch says that I can't pay him ribbis. Right? Also luvos min ribbis. I can't borrow money from him and pay him ribbis. So it says Rabbi Akiva Eger, that's true according to both opinions. But according to the opinion of the Ramban, it's only because of Lifnei Iver. Meaning, according to the Ramban, he is not Achicha, he is not my brother. So as from my perspective, he's not called my brother. But from his perspective, I am his brother. That's everyone agrees. From his perspective, I am his brother. So he is not allowed to charge me ribbis. And therefore, I can't pay him ribbis because I'll be over Lifnei Iver. I'll just be causing another Jew to sin. Right, that's according to him, that's the whole reason, because from my perspective he's not a chicha, but from his perspective I am his brother, and therefore he's not allowed to charge me ribbis. So I can't pay him ribbis, because if I pay him ribbis, I'm helping him do an aveira of charging me ribbis.
And the other way around.
The other way, meaning.
Meaning that the
for me to charge him ribbis.
Yeah.
For me. So what's the question? So.
Can the Jew charge the?
He can. He can. So the Mufarish said he can. The Jew can charge ribbis to the Mumar. Now, but maybe you're asking, but why is that? If I charge him ribbis, that means I'm making him pay me ribbis. So he shouldn't be allowed to. He shouldn't be allowed to pay me ribbis because, as from his perspective, I am his brother.
That's my question.
Okay, very good. So your question is asked already by the Taz.
It's a punishment.
Well,
that's... punishment, but that's why. So he gives me the money.
But that's not what the Rishonim is saying here. They're not saying else knas. They're saying simply it's a pashut lumdus that I'm allowed to charge him ribbis because it's not, there's no v'chei ochicha imach, or because he's not even ochicha from my perspective. That's what they're saying. So look at Rikveg, he brings these two reasons. So from his perspective, though, he is. So if I am his brother. So he shouldn't be able to pay me ribbis. And if he can't pay me ribbis, then how can I charge him ribbis? I'm causing him to do an avera of paying me ribbis. So that says the Taz, Sifka and Gimel. You have it right in the bottom of the right column. So he brings the time of the tour that you're not mechuyev to support him. Maybe you'll ask. I'm supposed to say binisinas haribis. The mumar is doing an iser by giving me ribis, which is Mr. Brass's question. He raised the sefer at truma. So sefer truma answers no. The afu ainu osa iser binasinas haribis. He's not doing an iser by paying me ribis. Why not? The Yisrael nesar binasinas haribis. The only reason a Jew can't pay another Jew ribis is midichsiv lachicha lo sashich perusho ato halove lo sase iser shachicha yashich osach. The whole iser of giving ribis, says the sefer truma, is almost like a lifnei iver dika iser. The iser of giving another Jew ribbis is because by giving another Jew ribbis, you're causing the Jew to charge you ribbis. Oh, but in this case, the Jew's allowed to charge you ribbis. the Jew who's a firm Jew, is allowed to charge the Muma Ribbis. The only reason why you're suggesting he wouldn't be is because by charging the Muma Ribbis, he's causing the Muma an Aveira of paying me Ribbis. But if we say that the only Aveira of paying Ribbis is based on the fact that you're causing the Malveh to do the wrong thing by lending you Ribbis, so in this case, where the Malveh is allowed to charge you Ribbis, so you're allowed to pay him Ribbis. That's what the Sefer Truma said. What do you mean, fry?
Fry that doesn't keep anything.
Well, so far we're talking about a mumer who is the fryest yid. That's what we're talking about. Talking about a mumer who's
so
fry.
Somebody who.
Sorry.
Who walks around and say, "I'm not a Jew anymore."
Okay, right. Yeah. So far, now we'll get. So we'll get soon to what about a person who's not that far off, if that's what you're asking. So if we're talking about a mumer who's, like I said, he's as far off as they come. He's kofer beikar. So Mimela says that's the same Truma is saying. That the only years perish atam was atalo velo lo sasi isr shachich yashachosra. Vahamumar shein amalva muzer all lovely kach mimenu, mimele gamhu ainu muzer, mi lust his ribbis. Okay. Avalahavos mimenu, but to borrow from him, that you can't do, because you borrow from him, velo sasler, to pay him ribbis, vade yasser, shirehu osi isr, but mashallah, he's not allowed to take ribbis from you. Okay. That's right. So he can't take ribbis from me. So since he can't take ribbis from me, memela, I can't borrow his money and pay him ribbis, because then I would either, like I said, either I'm at least being overlifting Iver by causing him to do the affair of charging me ribbis, or it might be even more than that. If you go with the reason of the Torah, it's not just lifting Iver, it's mamish usserman hadin for for him to charge me ribbis, and therefore for me to pay him ribbis, usserman hadin. Because if you go with the reason of the Torah that he is called my brother, even from my perspective, so then I have no heter to borrow from him. I only have heter to lend him, because there it says, because the reason not to lend ribbis is only to care about the guy's parnasa, v'chechechimach, and that doesn't apply by him. Okay, so the bottom line, it comes out according to either one of these two pshatim that we said so far. What the Mechaber said stands, according to both pshatim, that again, a mumar who's totally off the derech, you're allowed to lend him money and charge him ribbis, but you're not allowed to borrow from him and pay him ribbis. Now, okay, the third reason the Rishonim bring, the third reason not to, I'm sorry, this is the way it would be permissible to lend a Muma Baribis. Just one second, see how this. Yeah. The third reason is that by a regular Jew, I have to, besides that, but I have to be see to it that he's doesn't become impoverished because of that he may have, even if he doesn't deserve the din of v'chechechimach, but if there's a possibility that he'll have children, Jewish children, who will be shomer Torah mitzvahs, and eventually they would inherit his assets, his money. And therefore, dilma nafik mine, it's called dilma nafik mine zara ma'alia. So, by a mumar who's completely off the derech, we're not choshish for that. He's completely kofer be'ikr, he has no shaykhs whatsoever to Yiddishkeit, we're not choshish even that he's going to have descendants. That, now, of course, we all know it could happen, but we don't have to take that possibility, that's not a working possibility, that he's going to have descendants that you're going to have to, who would be deserving of our concern and of our care for their parnasa. So by a moment like this, we don't take that into consideration. Now, okay, we'll see what makes enough gemin in a minute. Okay, now
if he left over debt that was interest bearing, and the kids did come up as religious, would that interest be canceled?
Debt to another Jew, another Jew. Yeah, certainly they would not have to. By Torah law, yeah, they would not. They would not have to pay that. The problem would be, the problem always is, or always, I mean, often by a person who borrows money with an interest bearing loan, and then he finds out that he was not allowed to do it. Some people like simply have no idea. I've heard people who they're on a daf yomishir, learning Bava Metzia, and they came along this perek, and they learned, and said, I'm not allowed to pay somebody another Jew rivus? I had no idea. I owe two or three people a rivus. And now what do I do? Or people who became frum. They weren't so frum, and they borrowed money, and now they have outstanding debts, and then they become frum, and now they know they're not allowed to pay rivus. So what are they? But the other guy isn't interested. He doesn't want to hear from it. The guy who he owes the money to, he's not interested with this guy's religion. He's also Jewish, but doesn't concern him.
I learned about I loaned a friend of mine a credit line on my credit card, and he said, look, I'll just cover the payments, and I ended up having to go back to this guy paying him hundreds of dollars.
And you found out the hard way that you were not able to do that, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, but Baruch Hashem, you were the one who lent the money, so it just cost you money. Problem is, what happens if the guy who borrows the money, he's the one who becomes frum, or he's the one who realizes the yeser, and he doesn't want to pay the other guy ribbis, but the guy says, you don't pay me ribbis, we'll be in court tomorrow morning, and there's no way I'm going to let you off the hook. So now what do? You're sort of like forced to pay the ribbis, but it's usher. So that's the whole, the bottom line, this a number of Sfarim talk about this, they search for eitzes. The only really good eitz, I mean, or less the best eitz I've heard of, is if you get a really good friend who will pay it for you, because a third party is allowed to pay ribbis. Even lachatchila, I'm allowed to get a secure loan from you, but I'm allowed to ask a friend of mine, or you know, mm-hmm. a friend of mine could go over to you and say, hey, you know, lend the money, and I'll give you if you lend him $10,000, I'll give you right now $1,000 bonus, right in your hands. Yeah, just that I can't pay him back. I can't go back later and say thank you very much. Here's the $1,000 that you laid out on my behalf. I'm not allowed to do that. If he's a really good friend and he's willing to spend $1,000 that I should get a $10,000 loan or a $100,000 loan, it's muta lechatchila. I just can't pay him back. So that would be the thing. If you go over to the person and say, I'm really stuck. I owe this guy ribbis. I'm not allowed to pay it, but he's not going to hear from it. So if you get enough friends, each one to pay a little bit to pay off, and they could pay the ribbis for you. That's muta lechatchila. As long as you don't pay them back. He just got really good friends.
Why can't you pay him back?
Because then it's haram. It's like haram. It looks like you just he was your shaliach to pay it, and you'll pay him back.
Well, if two friends each have two loans, can each of them pay for each other?
Very good. They're each in the same pickle, so each pays each other's ribbis. Probably could if they work it out in a way that it's like not a deal. Maybe you know, maybe if it's mamash a contractual deal, it wouldn't be. But otherwise, that might be. Okay, but that's sort of a tangent. Okay, so now getting back here. So we have the Mechaber that says what we just learned. Now the Ramah comes along and says, Hagav v'yesh machmirin. There are those that are machmir af b'mumar l'halvoso. There are those that are machmir even by a mumar that you're not even allowed to lend him money. And the Ramah says, v'tov l'hachmir, imef shel yisham b'menu. The proper thing is to be machmir if you can get out of it. If you can get out of doing it, if you can get out of lending him the money and you know and charging him the ribbis, then you should. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's what the Ramah says. Try to get out of it. Okay, so what's the reason for the Machmirin? What do they hold? So there are, it's a discussion about this. The Sefer Chelkas Binyamin wants to suggest that the reason for the Machmirin is that they, their Choshesh, first of all, they hold that he is called a Chicha. Even a Mumma is called your brother, just like we said the Tur holds. But and as far as the Torah's reason that the Chicha Imach, they say they don't agree that just because the Torah writes that by the Issa Ribbis, that now that defines the entire Issa Ribbis. And whenever that doesn't apply, you're allowed to charge Ribbis. In other words, in the Torah says, we know in general, we don't darsh in time of the Krah, right? You know, typically, even if we understand or we think we understand the a reason for a mitzvah, we don't say, oh, the reason doesn't apply here. Therefore, like, whatever, certain non-kosher food, oh, it's not healthy. Oh, this particular species is very healthy, and if I cook it this way, it's very healthy. Obviously, you know, the person can't do anything like that. But even a reason that seems to be more on target, we don't use that to dictate our the halachas. Here, interestingly, the Torah is saying that we do, because the Torah says right by the pasuk of ribbis, the Torah says the Torah, according to the Torah is qualifying the yisur. So this opinion in the Ramah says the Chalk of Binyamin doesn't agree to that. Just because the Torah says the reason there, it doesn't mean the Torah is qualifying the entire yisur ribbis. And wherever that doesn't apply, the yisur ribbis doesn't apply.
So,
no, not drasha to say l'mayit mu or anything. No.
Oh, there's no such thing.
No. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the Ramban.
Yeah, I was thinking.
We wouldn't have this Machlokas to Ramban. And yeah. Right. So, that's from the Rishonim. Yeah. Like, if you look in the Be'er Hagola. Okay, look at Hey. Hey, in the Be'er Hagola. He quotes, Tosis Bevodas Kechavim, Kiv and Shein, Mitzvah Achil, so, Dulokarina Bevachichimach, Vachichas Varasham. These are the Rishonim saying this. This is Rishonim saying this, not the Gemara. Okay. So this is the reason that this is what the reason he says. So the Ramah says to be machmir. The Ramosha talks about another possibility of being machmir gufa because of the possibility that Dilma Nafik, what I said before, Dilma Nafik Mine Zara Ma'alya, maybe he will have descendants that are Shomri Mitzvahs, and we care about them. We don't want to deplete, you know, his wealth, because we'd like to see that eventually we'd like to see it end up in the hands of from descendants. And we'll see soon, hopefully, get back to an interesting chiddush Ramosha says based on that. But with the question is like this. First of all, when the Ramah says an interesting lashon, it's good to be machmir if you could avoid him. Efshel hishamet mimenu, right? If you can, so Frank Bichman, well, it's always efshel hishamet mimenu. Just lend him the money. Don't charge him ribbis. He won't mind. He's not going to protest if you don't charge him ribbis. What do you mean efshel hishamet? It sounds like if you can get out of it. What do you mean get out? Don't get out of it. Just don't charge. Get out of it by don't charge the ribbis. He's not going to protest. So says the Pesachei Tshuva. Rishayim the Tiferes Tzvi and Rav Moshe, same thing in the Yerkes Moshe, Pesachei Tshuva in Sifka and Dalid. What it means is, he says, I am Tshuva Tiferes Tzvi, Dal Kalpanim Vadai De Oser Lahalvas Lo Berot Below Ribbis. When the Ramah says you should be Machmer, he doesn't mean be Machmer and lend it without Ribbis. No, that for sure you can't do. This guy doesn't deserve your money. Oh no, he doesn't deserve our support. He's not entitled to it. It's wrong to do that. Don't lend him money without ribbis. What it means is turn him down for the loan. Deny the loan, that's all. That's why the Ramah says, actually, shamed, if you're able to get away from him, meaning if it's not a situation where you just can't get out of it, he's, for whatever reason, based on whatever factors, you can't not lend him the money. But if then you should be machmir. But he says, "V'chei mukach milashen Ramah shekasev miyachal ishami, aval below ribis aser rak lo yavakal." So Mimela comes out. If you can't get away from it, then you lend him the money and you charge him the ribis. That's all. It's an interesting. We don't usually have the usually yesh machmir, and that's what the yesh machmir in here means. It means be machmir and don't lend him money for ribis. How? By not lending him money at all. But if you must lend him the money, it's a case where whatever the case is, you simply can't get out of lending him the money. Then you lend him the money and you charge him ribbis. That's what the Ramah, and this Ramah, as I said, Ramah says this lahalacha also in the Tshuva in Simin Yerdei Gimel Simin Lamites. Okay, so now based on that, I want to make another point. So the previous Pesachei Tshuva talks about what happens if you lend a guy money, a mumar money, for ribbis, and somewhere in the middle of the deal, he becomes a Baal Tshuva. He starts listening to a lot of shiurim online, this and that, goes to a few kiruv seminars. And before you know it, here's my mumar that I was making my living off, and now he's becoming from all of a sudden. And he does. So now the question is, so the Tiferes Tzvi declares, do I have to return the ribbis? You mentioned before a case where you were in a situation where you took ribbis unwillingly, or unknowingly rather, and you had to return it, right? So what about this guy who I took at Beheter? When I took the ribbis, I was allowed to. He was a mumar. Now he's not. He's done tshuva. He's no longer, even if he hasn't done tshuva mamish, but he's not kofar biker anymore. He believes in Hashem. And so now I can't charge him ribbis. So do I have to pay him back the ribbis? So the Pesachei Tshuva says, no, definitely not. Pesachei Tshuva Gimel. Definitely don't have to pay him back the ribbis. Because everyone agrees that the mitzvah of returning ribbis is only kosav v'chei ochicha imach. It's different than Gezel. When you had to return the ribbis, it wasn't like you stole money, God forbid. If a person steals money from another Jew, we're not discussing from a non-Jew right now, but if a person steals money from another Jew, the Pasuk says, V'heshev zagzeil shagazel, right? You have to return what you stole. You return it, you have to return it. But by ribbis, that's not the din. If one took ribbis from another Jew, he has to return it only because of v'chei ochicha imach. There's no din of heishiv as agzela to return. There's a din of v'chei ochicha imach. And in fact, later the Taz wants to say that it's only if he asks you for it. You don't even have to volunteer it. It's a Taz. It's not about that. But we're begezel, it's for sure not the case. If I stole from somebody, if he's mochel, he's mochel. But if he's not mochel, and he doesn't know about it, he doesn't realize I stole from him, or he doesn't think I'll ever be interested in, he doesn't think he stands a chance that I return the money, I still have to return the money. But by ribbis, it's not so pashut. Okay, but whatever it is, so for ribbis, for sure the mitzvah to returning is only because of chechichimach. So for that, I for sure don't have to do. One second. Yeah, so I'm sorry. I'm saying it the wrong way. The case of the Pesachei Tshuva is where I took money. He is a mumar. I'm sorry. He didn't become a Baal Tshuva. Let's leave that for a second. He's still a mumar. But the Rama says I should be machmer and not charge him ribbis. So says the Pesachei Tshuva. But avad, if I did charge him ribbis, avad, I don't have to give it back because that's for sure. Giving it back is for sure based on v'chei chichimach, which doesn't apply. Now, l'chari, it would be, I think we could say a step further. Even if I didn't, if I lent him money by ribbis, even if I didn't collect the ribbis yet, I should, and then somebody tells me, hey, you know, you shouldn't have done that. The Rama says you should get out, you should have avoided the loan. But I did already, I lent him the money for ribbis. So l'chari, I should still charge him the ribbis, right? Because we just said, from the Tver Tzvi and from Ramosha, that you're for sure not allowed to lend him, give him a free loan. That's for sure you're not allowed to do. The only thing is, l'chatri, you should be machmer and just avoid the whole thing, you know, deny the loan. Deny lending him the money. But once you lent him the money, we said, if you have to lend the money, you have to charge ribbis. So once you lent him the money, of course you should still charge the ribbis. And push it, you shouldn't give it back. The case I said, the other case, if Itaka became frum, then it's a different story already. Now you know, that could be a different shaila. Maybe now that he's frum, then there's a now it does apply v'chayachichi imach, so maybe there is a mitzvah. Although when I did it, the b'shas I did it beheter, so mustam I would not have to do that.
Is it better to give it back?
In which case?
That one we came from.
Came from, yeah, for sure, okay. Now, okay. So we spoke about so far a person who's a mumar like entirely. He's completely off the charts. What about a person who's not so far off? He's a mumar, but the word mumar means a non-observer. So a person could be, the Gemara talks about mumar l'davar echad. A person could be mumar l'davar echad. I mean, he keeps 612 mitzvahs, and one thing he doesn't keep. L'mashal, he eats treif. He's not interested in that. He doesn't buy into that. Or maybe something else. There are other people that pick other mitzvahs, you know, shatnez. Oh, it was ridiculous. I can't wear wool and linen together. Whoever heard such a, you know, I can go for the ones that I can handle, but can't wear. You have to bring my clothes to this guy, this Jew with a white beard who's going to take some thread and snip and look under the microscope. Not for me, you know, that type of thing. So he's a mumar l'davar echad. So and you know, lahachad, not just l'teyavim. Not l'teyavim even that he does because it's too hard for me, you know, the kosher suits or the kosher meat is too expensive. No, he's just not interested in that. So what is his din? Am I allowed to charge, am I allowed to lend him money and charge him ribbis? So I guess it would boil down to, well, what were the three reasons? So he said, according to the Ramban, the reason he's not called a chicha, so the poskim say he's also not called a chicha. Person is a mumar even l'davar echad, if he's lahachis, is not called a chicha. And if he's not called a chicha, so then there's certainly no mitzvah, and there is definitely no mitzvah of a chicha imach, even if he is a chicha, going back to the Torah, even if he is a chicha, there is no mitzvah of a chicha imach on such a person. But here's where the third reason comes in. No, not the teyavin, he's lahachim, doing lahachis. But on the davar echad, he's not kofa baker, he believes in the Rebbeinu Shlom, and he does a lot of good things. But one mitzvah, two mitzvahs, whatever, he's got his issues with certain mitzvahs that he can't handle. I'm not doing that. Not the teyavin though. I'm not interested in that. That's so. The Bach says that in such a person, it is usur to charge him ribbis, to lend him money for ribbis, even though we just said he's not called a chicha and there's no mitzvah to support him, but it's still usur. This is the Bach says, and he said, what's the reason? He says, "Dikdei karadavka ba'osin mumar and shiotsim in a klal shekofrim be'ikar." Only by them is it mutter. Okay, he says, "Avul mumar she'eno yotsim in a klal." He's not totally out of, you know, off the derech. V'lo kafra be'ikar. He doesn't deny Hashem. Elishu mumar davar echad kagonochel nevelus lahachis. The Yeshlo Ishi Yisraelis, but he's married to a Jewish woman. Ubanim noagin das Moshe Yisrael. He has children that are from Hasam Chayshina Lechumra V'Asher Lahavas LaBaribis Da Afal Pi De Einan Musum LaHachayoso Mikamakam Logara Mimasur. What's a Masur? A Masur is a Yid who Nebuch. He's from, in a sense. I mean, he keeps the mitzvahs, most of them, but he's in cahoots with the government. This was a, you know, we've all heard back in Europe. This is, you know, real problems in some communities where a Yid who he makes his living on ratting on other Jews on things when they're not, when their behavior might not be totally in sync with the government regulations, or even if it is, but the government is looking for people to you know, to take advantage of. And so this Yid goes and says, you know what, Plony's got a lot of money, but I bet, you know, if you you know, this and this, you can go to Plony, you'll be able to get take a lot of his money. That's a muster. A muster gets other Jews in trouble improperly. So a muster, the din is, Rabbi Kiva Eger says also, right, the same Rabbi Kiva Eger on this page says, that a muster is called a chicha. He is called a chicha. So according to the Svara of the Ramban, that the heter is only because he's not called a chicha, that would not apply here. But the chayo chicha imach doesn't apply. That's what Rabbi Kiva Eger says, right? He says, he says at the end of Rabbi Kiva Eger, he says, v'chein af gimindel dina lahavus lamasa b'rit, del Ramban osur demikri a chicha. It's called a chicha. Well, l'das hatur yishlamu demutter, dami kamakam lo karin bei v'cheyo chicha imach. You don't have a mitzvah to support it. He may be a chicha, but there's no mitzvah to look after his parnasa. So, okay, but so says the Bach. This yid who's a mumer lahachis, but he's not kofar beikar, is not worse than a muser in that sense. See, really, I didn't say it very clearly. The third reason to be mekel, let's just speak out clearly. The third reason they've shown to be mekel is that if that you could charge in general, a mumer who's totally off the derech, you could charge ribis, you could collect ribis. I'm saying the sheet of the mechaber that's mutter lahavas to a mumer beribis. So the third reason, besides the Ramban, is that if I don't have to, if I'm not mechuyev to be shomer gufo, and I'm not because I'm meikar adin, the din is a mumer is moridin vein malin. You could, if you see you see him down in the pit, you could pull away the ladder, and so that he was stuck there, and permanently. That's the meikar adin by so. That's the third reason why we're showing him to say if I don't have to be concerned about his life, I certainly have to be concerned about his money. So says the Bach, but that's only by a full fledged mumer. But this type of mumer is like a musur, that the chadman darma the mamono usur dilma nafik mine zara malia the have Yisrael gomer, ma sheinkid be mumer and shows him in a kal. That we're not chashish that. So, but so again, by a regular non-firm Jew, or meaning a non-firm Jew who's a mumer l'davar echad, we say that we are concerned, or we are hopeful that he'll have from descendants, and therefore says the Bach, you can't charge him ribbis. And the Shach brings us down. The Shach in Sif Katan Dalid on the page here brings down this Bach. And he says, you know, what the Bach says is not muchruch, I'm not 100% convinced that he's right, but lemaisa, you should be machber like him. And he goes on, he brings other opinions. The Shach Paskin's lemaisa, and this is how many Achron Paskin, are a person who's a mumar, but he's not totally off the derech, then you cannot charge him, you should not lend him beribis. Now, so Rav Moshe in the Tshuva that I mentioned before is talking about a case where a person is doing a business deal with another Jew who's a mumer. Rav Moshe doesn't go into the definition of mumer, but let's just assume he's talking about a person who's totally off. And Rav Moshe is encouraging the one who wrote him the Shaila to write a heter iska. Heter iska, again, is something hopefully we'll get to. Basically, heter iska is a vehicle, probably everyone's roughly familiar with it. It's a vehicle of transforming basically what otherwise would be a loan and couldn't charge ribbis into a business deal, which you could make money on. It's very similar to ribbis, but it's not ribbis. So Ramush encourages the one who's writing to write, the firm person, make a heter iska with this non-firm Jew, try to convince him. But says Ramush, if you can't, just lend him the money and charge ribbis. And Ramush says, first of all, he says, to lend him the money without ribbis, you can't do. And he says, and even Rav Moshe goes through the different reasons why the Ramaz Machmir, and he says the reason that one reason to be Machmir would be this svara that maybe he's going to have from descendants, and we'd like them to have, to walk away with his Yerusha. Says Rav Moshe, but in this case, even if he's not from descendants, fakeret, you're doing him a favor by lending him the money, because it was a business. The person was borrowing the money in this case. He wasn't a poor guy that's borrowing the money in order to pay his grocery bill or pay his rent. He's borrowing the money for an investment. He was hoping, this person was planning on making a lot of money on mom. Let's say I'm the lender. He was planning on making a big killing on my money. So he wants to borrow me money. He's happy to pay me rivets. Now, that's normally usher. By regular two Jews, that's totally usher. You can't lend another Jew money, even if he's a billionaire, and he's more than happy to pay you 25% because he's planning on making 75% on your money. It's still usher, 100% usher minatari, without a heter iska. But by a mumar, where the Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter, just that the Ramah says better to be machmer, says Ramosh, okay, so try to be machmer. How should you be machmer? Write a heter iska. If you write a heter iska, then it's mutter. But if he won't cooperate, if he refuses to have the riska, much as you could just lend him the money and charge him ribbis. And you don't have to worry about maybe he's going to have good from descendants, because either rabbi, they'll be much better off if you lend him the money, because he's probably going to make a lot of money. Chances are he's a big, you know, chances are that he's going to make money on your money. So his from descendants, if he has, will be better off if you do the loan than if you deny him the loan. In other words, to lend him money without charging ribbis, that you can't do. That's off the chart. That's off, you know. Because if he's a mumar, you're not allowed to be mefarnesim.
Maybe that's going to make him come back.
Okay. There are other ways of doing it.
You're not allowed to loan a
mumar. No, not a mumar. A mumar. A mumar who's complete mumar, who's completely off the earth, not allowed, according to Ramoshan, you're not allowed to lend him the money without charging rivets. You either deny him the loan altogether if you want to be machmer, or you lend him the money and you charge rivets. But to lend him
money.
So we're talking about a mumar who's completely off the derech. He denies Hashem's existence. He's, you know, like one converted to, you know, to that type of thing.
So
okay.
If he's a mumar, right? You borrow from the money. You haven't had this.
If you're borrowing.
If you borrow from the mumar.
Yeah. If you do it. If you write it at risk. Right. Okay, but that's, yeah, but the, okay. But that's talking about where you need it. You need the money. I'm talking about lending him money. Yeah, okay. Okay, so now let's just fast forward to what about today's average non-frum Jew. So today's average non-frum Jew, we don't look at as this mumar who's, you know, I mean, unfortunately, everybody knows there are some like that. But the average non-frum Jew, you meet who he wasn't brought up religious and he doesn't know, you know, he knows, but he's seen plenty of religious Jews, but he never bought into it, and he's not even necessarily antagonistic. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but he's not this mumar. At worst, even if he's a mumar lahachis, even if we call him that, we saw already the shach and the bach say you have to be machmer by mulahachis not to charge him ribbis. And but the poskim say he's not even considered that. Most poskim say that today he's not from Jews. If they were not brought up from at all, and then we consider them, for certain halachas at least, get what we call a tinuk shenishba, meaning, what's the tinuk shenishba? A person who was, literally, the child who was taken captive as an infant, and he was brought up by goyim, and he never knew anything about Yiddishkeit. He grows up completely ignorant, he doesn't even know he's Jewish, he doesn't know what mean Jewish is, and then, so later, he's in a different category. Now, that's not the literal case by today's, you know, non-frum Jews. They're certainly weren't taken captive, and they grew up, many of them grew up amongst Jews, and they even do have business partners who are Jews, and they have neighbors who are Jews, and I'm from Jews, etc. But, so it's a big, whole other discussion whether we treat them as a tinuk shenishba in various areas of halacha, but certainly legabi this halacha, we would give them that status, especially because, first of all, the Ramah says anyway you should be machmer if you can, even by the worst mumar in the world, try to be machmer. Second of all, the shach and the bacha machmer, even if you make a like the machaber, but not by a mumar lahachis, not by a guy who's just, even his machal Shabbos. When we say mumar lahachis, by the way, mumar l'davrechad, even his machal Shabbos, even as long as he's not mumar l'avodah zara, he's in the category of the shach and the bach, that you should definitely be machmer. And besides that, there could be this person is better than all of that. He's not even, you know, that level of non-frum. So, for example, the Bris Yehuda brings this from the Tshuvas of the Maharshag, Yerodea Simen Hey. Yisraelim bizmanenu, today's non-frum Jewish Shavos, Seyem Kilklu Maseyem, their parents already, their parents, their grandparents went off to Derech and they were brought up non-frum. Mistaber Shedinam Ketinuk Shenishba. It's Mistaber that you have to treat them Shedinuk Shenishba and you cannot charge them rivets. So the halacha we learned tonight is not going to be applicable in an awful lot of cases. It could be, like I said, and I was fascinated that Ramosha's tshuva, Ramosha deals with it, Lamaisa, and he tells the person, as I said, he tells the one who asked the Shiloh that, Lamaisa, if you can't, if he won't cooperate with the Heter Iska, just lend him the money and charge him ribbis. So now, again, he doesn't really describe the guy, but I'm assuming that person was a complete kofar baker, because otherwise Ramosha would have at least mentioned the Shach and say, you should be machmeik the Shach. So I'm assuming, but even, so such a thing could definitely exist. But even if it does exist, like we saw, it's still better to try to avoid doing the loan if you can. If you can't avoid doing the loan, then you're allowed to do the loan and charge him ribbis. But again, just the last word should be that by the average non-from Jew, this is not the case, and you could even lend him money. Could even lend him money, as a free loan.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last week, the Rof said if there's no personal guarantee, then it's okay.
There's no personal guarantee.
That even if somebody takes money,
yes,
the person for business.
Oh, I mean, I said if you lend to a corporation. I mean, if you lend money to a corporation.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So, I said Ramosha says okay. So the big machlokes, but Ramosha holds it's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
So the case that the Rav said just now towards the end, that
yeah,
was advised to do heter.
Yeah.
By why? It
doesn't say he's talking about a corporation.
Business.
No, but it's not enough to be for business. The person has to be a corporation. It's not